Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us again, ladies and gentlemen. Mecklenburg brings it. We have Janine Gonzalez. She is our STEP Program Recovery Court Director, President,
Manager.
There you go.
Do it all. Whatever needs to be done.
Isn't it true when you apply for a job, there's always a little extra?
Absolutely. That can be the most fun part of the job.
The bottom line I got out of your job description was you help others.
Absolutely. And actually what I do is I hang around with people who are looking to change their lives and they help me. That's the part that makes what I do worthwhile and why I've been doing it so long is everybody I come in contact with helps me.
So tell us more about this awesome STEP program recovery court.
Well, we have six different programs that address six different populations that come in contact with criminal justice. And so each of the courts deal with those who are struggling with substance abuse and mental health issues as far as what brought them into contact with the criminal justice system.
There's always an episode.
Yes.
Nobody ever plans to go to jail. Right?
Not usually, yeah. A lot of people are dealing with the same stuff that you deal with in regular life without getting involved in the criminal justice system. Some end up just kind of being in the wrong place at the right time so that they get the help that they need that they wouldn't necessarily get otherwise.
Has this always been around, Janine?
The Mecklenburg County programs have been here since 1995, so we're about ready to start celebrating 25 years.
STEP stands for Supervision Treatment Education and Prevention.
Yes, ma'am.
We all need a little bit of that in life.
Absolutely. A step up is always welcome.
I notice the beauty is when people say, I need help. Or do you actually tell people that they need help? How does that
work?
A little
of both.
Okay.
Because you come in the criminal justice system, and so sometimes you're there because you realize you've hit bottom and you need help. Other times, you're court-ordered to participate in a recovery court program that is going to force you to look at some areas of your life that need to make some pretty substantial changes. For a long time, we felt that a coerced treatment didn't necessarily work. But what we found out after 25, 30 years of recovery courts being in existence across the country is, yes, they do. And coercion for treatment does work, and we see the results of it. We are great at being able to celebrate the little successes and the big successes along the way.
Right. So you brought along a new best friend. It's Matt.
How you doing?
Hey, Matt Price. How's it going?
Pretty good.
So you're the alumni.
Yes. Yay.
Did we have graduation and everything? What did we do?
Mine was April of last year.
So what brought you to the program? Did Janine say, hey, Matt, you need to enroll?
How did I end up in the program?
Uh-huh.
A very bad day.
Okay.
That's how I got there.
Okay. But it's all turning out for the best.
Yes. I thought it was one of the worst days of my life is managed to end up being one of the best ones. You know, it's amazing how great things can come out of like terrible situations.
Can you tell a little bit about your story? Maybe the experience you had within the journey? Because the year is a long time for some of us. And then some of us think, wow, this year really flew by.
It's definitely gone by pretty quick since I got out of there. You know, it's been probably about a year and a half since I got out of there. I've still tried to find ways to stay connected and not just work with the program, but work with some of the places that work with the program. I'll actually be volunteering at one of them all of next year just to like try and keep my foot in the door because, you know, a lot of these people, you know, believed more in me when I didn't believe in myself. And if I didn't try to give back, it'd be like having this all this knowledge and education just go to waste.
And then to hear from someone who's gone through it, like you've got a master's degree in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a doctorate.
Yeah,
a doctorate.
I was about to say, there's a doctorate of making bad decisions, you know, believe me. Yeah, I'm probably teaching it. So.
Okay, so if someone were to see Matt and hear Matt, maybe have a little more faith and hope that they could get on the journey and stay on the journey?
I know in my case, you know, a lot of times when I came into, you know, programs like this one or other ones in the past, you know, you walk in and a lot of the people you see, you know, they're just dressed nice, you know, they're obviously it's a professional setting, you know, and so a lot of people that have lived in these type of experiences, you know, you already have a guard up about you. So you think that this person does not have your best interest at heart. So I always try to give people the example. If you walked into an office and you saw the person in the suit sitting at one desk, and then you saw somebody like me, you know, scarred up, bearded, tattooed, who do you think you're going to relate with more?
So maybe he can get a job working with the program. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I'm close. I'm a certified peer support specialist. I'm about two classes away from being certified by the state of North Carolina.
And Matt brings up a really good point. One of the things that we've done recently in the last 3 years is recognize that those who have lived experience have the greatest voice in reaching out to individuals to help them overcome some of the rough patches, to help them understand why there's a benefit, why the court might be asking you to do something that you don't quite understand, and be able to explain it in a way that the professional doesn't. And so we have employed our peer support specialists in all six of our courts.
Oh, cool. Go over those six courts that we're talking about.
Well, we have one court in Superior Court, which are those who have been tried and sentenced with a felony conviction that has substance use or mental health issues that related to the charge.
Got it.
Okay. And then we have those with similar charges, but they've not been tried and convicted in district court. So we work with those individuals who work pretty much the same program, but the carrot at the end is they don't have that felony background. And so they get the opportunity for Mecklenburg's district attorney to dismiss their charges if they successfully complete the program. We also have a DWI recovery court that works with those individuals who are high-level repeat DWI offenders. We have a wellness court, which works with individuals whose primary issues are more mental health related and the substance use is secondary. We have a program that is in the juvenile court that is for families who have substance use issues that have resulted in their children being placed in youth and family services custody. And then we have a juvenile delinquent drug court or recovery court or youth recovery court that works with juveniles who are high risk, high need in their families who have substance use and mental health issues and can benefit from the program.
Any of that, maybe a holistic approach or some component of it is a holistic approach?
Well, we'd like to think that in our best day, all six programs operate in a holistic approach because we're really looking at what are the needs. So when someone like Matt comes into the program, if he's living on the street, I can tell him he needs to go to treatment all he wants. But if he doesn't have transportation, doesn't have a job or a place to live or food to eat, then the odds of him listening are going to be slim and none.
I like how you know all the elements that happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about your story? Did you have family support, friend support?
I've always had great family support. I was just one of those people from a young age. You know, I had to do things my own way. You know, I'm very hard-headed. So I always had to just learn from experience. You could tell me something all day long. I can read something on a piece of paper 10 times until I actually see it, do it, not going to happen, you know? So
you like the school of hard knocks.
Pretty much, but, you know, it's paid off well, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look like a middle-aged man who still has a life in front of him.
If I could get my mind to know that I'm middle-aged and my body to stop thinking I am past middle-aged, that would be great. Had I known I was going to make it this far, I would have definitely taken better care of myself.
I'm glad that it's been a success for you.
Yes. I've been through a lot of programs, you know, and I've been in and out of the court system since I was a teenager. Nothing had ever worked. You know, you go in, and like when I got in this program, one, I thought I was just going to go in because it got sold to me as, I'll take one or two classes, be on probation. Yeah, that's it. And I was like, sweet, I got this. I've done this like 9 times over. And the first day I walked in there, like, nope, you're going to class like 3 days a week. You're coming down here 3 days a week. And they gave me this list of things. I was like, oh no, this is going to be a lot. But I mean, as I got further into it, you know, I did it 2 times around. So, you know, the second time I figured it out more. But you start to understand what it is and why they do it that way. But also along the way, you start meeting a lot of the people involved in this program and you start to see that it's not the same thing that a lot of people have already been through. the people involved with this program actually do care. You're not just another name or a number in a case file like a lot of the times you are with other programs. These people actually take time to, you know, work more with you as an individual. I walk in that office and I haven't been there a year and a half and everybody still knows my name. Probably because I was there forever, but, you know, it's the level of care and support I got coming through there was something I had never seen, you know, in other programs that I had been through.
That's the big difference when you know that somebody cares.
Yeah.
You can't fake that.
No, you can't. And I tell you,
getting people to understand that's what it is, you know, in the beginning is hard because you have people that, you know, they're just like, they don't want to be told what to do. And I mean, you know, realistically, nobody does. But, you know, being told what to do sometimes how you get successful at something.
So I know he makes you proud.
He does. And, you know, Matt's journey is unique to Matt.
Yes.
And what we do know is that the program individualizes the case plan for each person. So Matt is the owner of his story and his journey, and we're just support roles.
Everybody's unique in their story, right? So how many unique stories do you think are out there that have come through the program since February of, what was that, February of 1995?
95. You know, I have not counted all those up in a long time. I know that we've served anywhere between 600 and 800 people a year between our six courts, and so I'll let you do the math. That's not my strong suit. I do know that we have a great success rate, even with those who don't necessarily complete our program, but who really get it with treatment and all the services that they're connected to, so that they end up not coming back into the criminal justice system. So we have a number that is extremely low for those who recidivate or who get rearrested, and that's like 12%.
So you don't have to graduate to be a success. You just don't have to go back into the court system to be a success.
We use both of those as success measures, but not everybody's going to graduate from the program. Things happen, life shows up, and you just kind of have to deal with it. You have health issues, you have to move out of the area, all different kinds of things. But what we know is that those individuals who manage to stay connected with treatment for at least 6 months are way more successful than those who don't.
More women or more men?
Our programs actually serve more men than women, but 6 months is standard across both genders.
Got it. Okay, if you're just tuning in, we got new best friends. It's Janine Gonzalez. She is our STEP program recovery court manager. We also have Matt Price. He's a recovery court alumni. We're talking about the STEP program. It's Mecklenburg County STEP program, established February the 9th, 1995. It's the acronym for Supervision, Treatment, Education, and Prevention. And the mission of Mecklenburg County Recovery Court is to holistically inspire and empower individuals so you can start a new life. Do you ever get the records expunged, or do you just live with those once you've taken these
That's
programs?
A whole other legal question okay. that we leave to the attorneys to deal with, and not something we deal with as part of the program.
Got it. And it is to reduce drug and alcohol dependence.
Yes.
Are we addicted to drugs and alcohol? We are, aren't we?
We are. I'm grateful we don't have a caffeine court or a chocolate court, because I might be involved in that. But
I love my espresso. I would be in court. I would. I would fail every morning, right? Not to get, and you got to think about that. If you do drugs and alcohol, you have to have that. I don't know, every morning or maybe at noon or maybe at night. I don't know. But we have to have our chocolate and our coffee.
Right. What if I think we can all relate in a multitude of layers. It's just finding what it is that we're addicted to. Phone.
A phone. Go without a phone, chocolate, and coffee for a week.
Oh, no.
Social media is one of those.
Committing crimes.
People are addicted to social media.
Oh, there's another court, social media court, right? Oh, Matt, I'm so glad that Janine brought you along and Janisha said, come on, Matt, let's do this.
I thought it was an amazing opportunity. If you would have told me when I came into this program that I would be doing this or a lot of the other things that I've done, I would have laughed in your face.
Because you were on WSOC TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. Last year, I was a guest speaker at UNC Charlotte, done a couple other things, and I've mentored a couple of people. You know, I get phone calls fairly regularly from either friends of friends or somebody that got my number, and they're like, hey, you know, I'm trying to get my life back on track. Can you, you know, talk to me for a little while? And, you know, I mean, I'll try to put them in contact with places. If they're homeless, you know, put them in touch places like Hope Haven or Dove's Nest or some other community places. If they need detox, different detoxes in the area that I've personally been to. So, you know, I got to know them well in my personal life, things I get to pass on that I've got from the program, you know, the connections and the places that I've been put into contact, things that I would have never known about. It's definitely been very good and very interesting along the way.
I'm going to ask Janine her favorite saying that she said when she walked in, and I love it. What would be something that you would say to me if I called you up on the phone and I said, hey, Matt, it's Francine. I just can't put the alcohol down, and I have to have this drug of choice every day. But I really don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. You know, it's kind of like people that smoke. They really don't want to smoke, but they do it anyway, right? What would you say to me?
Figure out how bad do they want it. But also, like, with alcohol, for example, if you called me up and I would ask how much you've been drinking on, like, a regular basis, because trying to stop drinking cold turkey can be extremely dangerous for your body. There's a few things that play way more havoc on, like, your body and your nerve system than other things. You know, alcohol and benzos are two of those things that if you've been doing them long term at a high rate and you just stop it, it can kill you. So, you know, if it was that, I would definitely recommend either trying to go to a hospital or go to a detox program, you know, that is more of a medical detox. But if you were just having problems with cigarettes, I'd probably tell you, try nicotine patches, you know, something like that. So
didn't know that about the alcohol.
I think Matt brings up a good point, though, is if somebody calls, it's just that's the first step. You called. You reached out. You asked somebody for help. And I know the recovery community says, you know, one day at a time. And one day at a time is great, but for some of us, it's moment by moment, minute by minute, because one day, 24 hours, is way too long in the future for me to be able to make it through. And that's the uniqueness of the programming that we offer, is to individualize it so each person gets what they need and hopefully when they need it.
Bravo. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your time. We've been joined this morning by Janine Gonzalez. She is our STEP program and recovery court manager. Also, we have Matt Price, who's our recovery court alumni. Thank you.
It's the Francine Marie Show. We're taking a break. So before you can wipe your bum, we'll be right back. This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Sweet strawberry icing.